630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
Face off to the right of Markstrom. It'll go to McDavid. Scores! Connor McDavid right off the face off. And the Oilers are up 3-2.
And the Oilers win it 3-2. Connor McDavid with the game winner on the power play. 7:01 into the third. Dominic Cahoon and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins also scored tonight. The Oilers 2-for-5 on the power play. They have won 5 out of 7 against the Flames this season, and Mike Smith is now 13-3-1 on the year. He makes 24 saves tonight. Thanks a lot for joining us. It's 9:46, Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line from the Friesen Brothers Broadcast Center. Rob Brown, Reed Wilkins, Loge Level at Rogers Place. Well, Rob, first of all, the special teams cashing in. They got a power play goal early in the second period that tied it 1-1 at the time. And then 4 seconds into a power play, Connor McDavid able to squeak one through Markstrom.
Well, the one thing that we've seen with Connor this year, more so than in the past seasons, is his willingness to shoot the puck whenever he has a wide open opportunity. And on that one there, I think it might have surprised Markstrom. Normally off the faceoff, when that puck bounces out there, you see Connor backhanded it back to either Barry or Nurse, whoever's on the point, and they get set up in their positioning. And I think that was one of the reasons it squeaked through. I don't think Markstrom was completely set on it. And McDavid, his wrist shot, he reminds me, Jaromir Jagr used to have one just like that, where you can't tell where it's coming from. It's so quick, so deceptive, you don't know when the puck is leaving the stick. And it was on and off a stick quickly. Markstrom has no chance. And it's funny, when you watch the replay, you watch the Calgary Flame defenders, and they're all standing in the circle still looking up at the Jumbotron to see how that got in, because it was so quick. But it's just more weapons that Connor has in his arsenal, where he just continues to improve and show how he's adapting to the game. Oh, you're going to take away my passes away? Well, I'm going to shoot more. And now, what is he, I think, second in the National Hockey League in goals. And he just continues to impress. And that was a big goal at a big time. Their power play has won them games in the past, and it did again tonight.
And again, Mike Smith, I mean, what can you say? He's 13-3-1, like I said. His save percentage is right around .920. And some big saves tonight. And he just... There's something about him where you just feel that next one, the back-breaking one, isn't going to go in. I mean, yeah, Calgary scored first tonight. Yeah, I mean, they had some other opportunities. Sure, the Oilers sold out and blocked some shots, but he just makes the saves when he needs it, and he just seems to have that sense when the team needs a little of energy. Sometimes, you know, he catches one and he'll give it that little flare with a glove, but yet he'll still give a defenseman a tap on their rear end saying, oh yeah, like, yeah, good check in there, even though he got an open shot on me. Like, he's just, there's something about him. He's been huge.
He has. His battle and his compete level are contagious. Most goaltenders, if you look at, for example, in the other end at Markstrom, a very quiet type goaltender. At the end of the night, you don't really remember much of him. Where Mike Smith, it doesn't matter what the score is, 8-6 or 2-1, you remember plays that he made because he's demonstrative. Tonight I started watching even more closely the number of times he came out to stop the puck going around the boards. It is unbelievable. Just comparing, now I don't know if Markstrom's good or bad playing the puck as a goaltender, but I know in this game it was like watching a National Hockey League player and a Junior B goal player on the other end. That's the difference between Mike Smith and Markstrom in ability to get out and stop rims. 10, 20, 30, 40, I don't know how many times he came out, and he stops pucks that are going 100 miles an hour around the glass. He gets his stick up, stops, and the puck drops dead. He turns back there, and now he's snapping the puck up. The Calgary Flames are a team, any Daryl Sutter coach team, is a team that is based on their forecheck and their aggressive style and their physicality. Well, you can't do those things if the puck gets stopped behind the net and it's coming back the other way. So the Flames are at the top of the circle and the puck's already going past them. So Mike Smith not only has to come up with the big saves, But the fact that the Oilers never get hemmed in their own zone is largely on the back of Mike Smith there, too. So I don't know if anyone would have expected that he would have the type of seasons he's having, but a big reason, a huge reason the Oilers are where they are in the standings is because of Mike Smith.
Let's hear from Smith, courtesy Mattress Superstore. Give them 5 minutes, and they'll give you the best sleep of your life. Take the Sleepology body scan and take the guesswork out of buying a mattress.
Hi, Mike. The players are expressing, you know, all the confidence they have in you as a goaltender. I wonder if you flip it around and just talk about what you saw there today. It looked like a playoff-style game where they fell behind a couple of times and kept their cool and found a way to grind one out.
Yeah, absolutely. A commitment to winning. And it takes everybody. It's not what a one-man show. It takes your whole team. You're not going to win or go very far with one or two players. So I think it takes a group to be successful in this league and to have parity. The guys did a tremendous job tonight just to hang with it and make sure that we're, you know, controlling what we can. And we got some big goals there, and obviously a big one by Cap at the end there on the power, and gets us another 2 points, which is huge for a group.
Is it helpful Calgary was, they had a chance to maybe wiggle their way into it a little bit. Now you put them 12 points behind. You don't have to worry about them anymore. Is that a factor into this, and you can just kind of worry about who's ahead instead of who's behind you?
I mean, more about us. I think we didn't play as well as we wanted to in Montreal, and we wanted to rebound with a better effort tonight. And I thought right off the get-go we were humming pretty good and got behind a couple of times and were able to come back and get in the game and then, you know, push along and able to get the third one. But we've, you know, done a good job to, you know, separate ourselves from the pack a little bit, and we want to continue to do that and, you know, give teams kind of no hope that are out of the playoffs right now and looking in. So I think that's, you know, been a main focus of our group, just to kind of keep pushing forward, and we want to be playing our best hockey going into the playoffs, and it's not a switch you can just turn off and on. So I think we want to continue to play well.
Mark Spector, Sportsnet.
Mike, tell us about us media guys and hockey people talk about the goalie that doesn't let the next one in. You know, in a 2-2 game, you really got the feeling that three might be enough tonight, and you don't let the next one in. Is the goalies think that way, or do we just think that way?
You guys think a lot of ways that I'll just leave it at that. But, yeah, I mean, it's obviously a mindset you have to have. I think it's, you know, when the other team gets a lead, you obviously don't want it to get out of reach where you feel like your team can't come back in the game. And I think when you're just down a goal, obviously your team's still, you know, far from done. And I think that's, you know, one thing that's been exciting about our group this year is you feel like even when you're down maybe one or two goals, you're just one shot away from getting back in the game. So I think, and we're capable of doing that. We've shown that. So I think our group knows that when we're down, we can come back, and when we have the lead, we can close games out. And you got to find, you know, we've talked about it all year, we got to find different ways to win hockey games, and we've been doing that all season long, and it's great for our confidence going into the most important games.
Your GM last summer went after Jacob Markstrom hard, didn't get him, signed you, and your numbers are crushing Markstrom this year. Is that a personal thing for you, or is that just happenstance?
Could care less.
Okay.
Ryan Rashog, TSN.
Mike, this was supposed to be, you know, one of the most grueling parts of your guys' schedule. Obviously, it hasn't turned out that way. But it seems like maybe the grind has been a little bit more mental for your group with all the extra time you had on the trip. Now you've had another game canceled. How do you think your team is kind of dealing with that grind and kind of dancing around these curveballs that are getting thrown at you?
I think every team has battled it at some time this year, so I think it's we've been lucky, obviously, that haven't had anything until this point. And you know, we knew going into the season that it was going to be a weird one, and it was going to be, you know, there was going to be some different points in the season when you don't really know what's going on. So I think it's just some adversity that every team's got to deal with, and you know, there's going to be adversity going into the final games of the season and into the playoffs. So I think that the more mentally sharp you can be and strong you can be, it's only going to help out in the most important games.
Yeah, I mean, every game that gets moved is obviously going to be a crunch somewhere down the road. So I guess, is the focus just on really taking the rest when you can get it, taking advantage of a stretch where you don't have to play a ton of games because you know it's coming on the other end?
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that's been talked about a little bit internally here that who knows how many games we're really going to have to play, you know, just judging by the schedule and how many games have been missed. So we want to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves and getting the proper rest, but also playing, you know, important hockey games. And with the uncertainty of kind of the number that's going to get there by the end of the season, we want to have as many wins accumulated as possible. So I think it works both ways. Obviously, we can't look too far ahead and worry about the games at the end of the season. We got to worry about the ones that we can control, and that's the next one. So that's all we'll do.
Daniel Andrew Bowman, The Athletic.
Mike, did you see tonight's game as a, you know, the style of game, the type of game that you're going to need to play in the playoffs to be successful?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're seeing more and more of that, more, you know, the more teams we play here, you know, the standings are tightening up a little bit, and, you know, teams are, you know, the points are so important. So I think as you get closer to playoffs, the games become more important, and the style of play changes a little bit to tighter games. You know, probably the team that makes the most mistakes is going to lose, and that's something we've been talking about, and make sure we're, our minds are in the right place and we're playing the game the right way, and one that we can sustain going into playoffs and not just make the playoffs but make some noise in the playoffs. So I think we're learning how to win the right way. We're learning how to do the little things it takes to be successful and be consistent, and it's showing in our play and it's showing where we are in the standings.
Thank you.
That is goaltender Mike Smith, who is also our fourth star of the game for Mr. Mike's Steakhouse Casual, your hockey destination. Make your reservation at MrMike's.ca. He backstops the Oilers to a 3-2 win over Calgary. Edmonton is now 23-14-1 on the season. We'll update the North Division standings for you here in a couple of minutes. I thought Smith was going to shoot that one.
Did he so start behind
it? He had time. He had time to launch it.
I'm surprised no one asked him that, because that's something that up here you're thinking, he's thinking about it. He's looking down there, and in all honesty, when the puck's on his stick, it's just as good a chance of getting out as there is anyone else in the defensive zone for the Oilers. So, yeah, I honestly thought he was. Maybe he looked up. I mean, I was looking at him, so I wasn't looking what was in his field of vision, if he was worried that there was two or three bodies in the way, but I was hoping he was. I was like, come on, do it. Come on, Schmitty, you can do it. I don't know if, I'm not sure I've seen one live, a goalie scoring on it on the empty net, so it would have been kind of fun.
So the Oilers take it 3-2, as we'll update the scoreboard for Edmonton Trailer. Looking for parts, service, rentals, or new and used semi-trailers, head to edmontontrailer.com. Avalanche knock off the Blues 3-2. After two periods, the Coyotes and Ducks are tied at 2. Early in the third, San Jose's up 2-0 on Los Angeles. The Capitals beat the Devils 2-1 in overtime. Orlov got the game winner. And the Maple Leafs get by the Jets 2-1 in a shootout. So, the North Division standings. Toronto has 51 points. Edmonton and Winnipeg both with 47. And Montreal with 41. But here's the interesting thing if we sort that by points percentage. Because Montreal has only played 33 games. Edmonton and the Jets have played 38. And Toronto has played 37. Toronto still leads. Mm-hmm. And comfortably.
Yep.
With fewer than 20 games to go in the season for most teams. They have a 689 points percentage.
That's a very good year they're having.
Montreal's in second place, mm-hmm, at 621, and Edmonton and Winnipeg are now both at 618. So you almost have a three-way tie
for
second place when you go by points percentage. A slight edge to Montreal. And to be honest with you, Rob, and I'm not doing this to troll Calgary fans or anything, because it, you know, there's been years it's been the other way around. Even if Calgary would have won this game, they're not going to the playoffs.
No, we said that before the game. They've not put enough points in the bank, and the Montreal Canadiens, Montreal's got a good hockey club. Well, and obviously the point percentage, their second overall point percentage in this conference or in this division. The top four that you see right now are the top four that'll be in the playoffs. It's just a matter of where they line up. In May, I was going to say May 6th or May 11th or May 7th.
We have
no idea when it's going to end, but those are the four playoff teams right now.
Yeah, this is, it's really interesting. Edmonton and Montreal again on Monday.
Monday.
So Edmonton gets to go right back in, and well, they can't do much worse than they did on Tuesday. So they'll do better. Obviously they don't just want to do better. They want to win. So it's a tight four team race for positioning. Again, Toronto has the certainly the advantage to finish first. They're going to have a tough going. I know they still have games against the Canadians. The Oilers don't play them anymore. They have a few more against the Jets. So anyway, that's the update there on the standings. You can get us on the CertainTeed hotline, CertainTeed professional grade building materials, 780-496-0063. That's also the number to text. You can email insidesports@630ched.com. We'll get to the phone lines. You'll hear from head coach Dave Tippett as well. Oilers take it 3-2. This is Heartland Ford overtime open line. The goal scorers for the Oilers tonight, Nugent Hopkins, Cahoon, and McDavid. That means a $300 donation to 630 Ched Santa's Anonymous, courtesy James H. Brown and Associates, Serious Injury Lawyers. They give $100 every time the Oilers light the lamp. Edmonton beating Calgary tonight 3-2. It was Stone and Tkachuk scoring for the Flames. Edmonton's record is now 23-14-1. Calgary drops to 16-19-3. Can also tell you the Oil Kings won 9-2 over Red Deer after trailing 2-0. The Raptors won 130-77 over Golden State. And curling, Botcher representing Team Canada, 8-5 over Japan. So they've started 2-0.
Oh, good for them. You and I talked about the curling for at the Brier. They looked good. That kid is a good curler.
Yeah, well, we got to stop calling him a kid. Like they're late 20s, early 30s.
Everybody is a kid to me now. Well, I'm having a birthday great. Right away. Where now, just about everyone in the world will be a kid to me.
That's touching.
Yeah, thank you.
780-496-0063. Robert is on the line. Hey, Robert, go ahead.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Sorry, is this Sir Robert?
Yeah, it is.
Because I knighted you last game. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, I don't know. Are you guys seeing what I'm seeing with Smith? Like, am I the only one that's thinking that it seems to me every single game Smith looks better and better and more and more confident in the net. That's what I have that thought. And then I want to touch on the power play a little bit after I get your thoughts on Smith.
Well, Smith's been excellent. He's I don't know if anyone in the organization could have expected him to be this good. His numbers are as good as almost anyone in the National Hockey League right now. And I agree with what Reed said earlier. When he's in net right now, you do not feel there's going to be a bad goal going in, and you don't feel that the other team's going to be able to extend the lead. It's absolute complete confidence in him as a goalie right now, and it's not just us in the stands. Obviously, the bench is feeling the same way. He is having an excellent season.
What was your other point, Robert?
It's a little bit to do with the power play. What was the power play tonight? What were we, 2-for-5?
2-for-5, yep.
Yeah, okay. Well, so where does that put them percentage-wise after tonight? But I guess the other thing I want to say is it's like our power play, it seems like even when we get power plays where we don't score, we don't seem to lose momentum, with the exception of that one earlier on in the game. But I mean, it's like the power play. It's like, to me, it feels like 95% of the time you feel like they're going to score.
Well, they're up to 26.4% for the season. Yeah, appreciate the call. The first period one, they lost a little bit of momentum off of that one, and then they did give up a breakaway out of the penalty box to end one in the second period, but they got the goals they needed. I mean, you tie it up early in the period and you get the game winner. And again, on that one, even watching from up top, Rob, it happened fast, but for a split second, I thought, okay, Connor's going back to the point.
Oh, yeah.
And his first 4 years in the league or however many, he would have.
Well, normally when you see that play where the puck comes there, he hits it with his backhand back to either Bear and or Nurse, then he moves into his spot. But he continues to improve as a hockey player. The great one, it's funny, you never think the greatest players in the league are going to continue to work at their game to try to get better because they're already the best. But he decided he was going to be a better shooter, and he's going to shoot the puck more. I think the first couple of years, incredibly unselfish. I mean, he came in here with all the hoopla. I mean, this is the next great one. And you want to be unselfish to your teammates because you don't want to be thought of as different. So you want to come in there and you're going to try to make your team look better. You're not going to be selfish. You're not going to take all the shots. Every time you get a two-on-one, you're going to move the puck. But now he's, because of what he has done and the respect that he has around the league and as well in his dressing room, he can do whatever he thinks is the right decision. And now you're seeing him shoot on two-on-ones. Didn't see that the first 3 years. You're seeing him shoot off a face-off there. And it just makes him a double threat. And I don't think Markstrom was ever set on that because there was no expectation that he was going to shoot the puck from there. And he beat him. So their power play is lethal. And when you've got the two best players in the National Hockey League on that power play and you give them time and time again chances, they're going to make you pay. You can't give the Edmonton Oilers a power play in the third period with the game on the line. I'd bet my house most nights that they're going to win a hockey game with that power play. And again tonight, they got them the win.
And I thought Yamamoto had a good game. I mean, he missed the couple of games before the road trip and then the extended time off, obviously. Good setup to Cahoon.
Great setup.
I mean, he wasn't the only player that made a good pass on that play, but he was one of them. And then just driving the net to draw the interference penalty, and 4 seconds later, puck's in the net.
Yeah, no, they need him to be better. They need him to be where he was last year. And it's been more up and down this year. When you're a second year in the league, you don't surprise anyone. I think last year there was no book on him. So all of a sudden, oh, I got time. Oh, wait, that guy's stick just took the puck off me. Or I mean, oh, he's just a little guy. I don't have to worry about, oh, he's a lot stronger on his feet than I expected. So now the players know him. And it's harder to surprise anyone. And that's why you have the sophomore jinx. It's a little bit tougher the second time around. He's starting to get his feet going again. He's starting to get involved. He's starting to get aggressive. He's getting the forecheck going. The Edmonton Oilers, and we've talked about it, they're not deep in top six players. They need Yamamoto to be able to be an anchor on that second line, to be able to be someone they can count on day in, day out with Leon Draisaitl like he was last year. And he's starting to make those strides again. He was good in this game tonight. And that was a player with confidence making that pass to Kuhn on that goal. A lot of players, they're shoveling that puck into the goalie and hoping it finds a way through him. He waited. He had patience until the right moment, and then he threw it across. So it was, yes, a good game for Yamamoto.
3-2, the Oilers win it whenever they score five or more in a game. We turn on the Japanese Village goal light on 630ched.com. Presented by Japanese Village Restaurants. Thrilled to serve you again for dine-in and takeout. Complete details, jvedmonton.ca. Well, here's a message we'll both enjoy, Rob. Hey, guys, just wondering if there are any trade rumors for the Oilers. Oh, my goodness. Well, it depends. depends how seriously you take anything you can read online. I mean, look, we've seen some of the reports around Glenn Denning out of Detroit, Sutter out of Vancouver, Derek Ryan out of Calgary. That's someone Bob talked about before the game. I mean, you'd have to send another a player out. Mm-hmm. There has to be some money going out given the way the Oilers are up against the cap. I think, you know, Holland, I'm sure he'd love to add some experience or some depth if somebody's going to take somebody off your hands. And I don't think it's going to be a big contract like James Neal or Koskinen or anybody like that. And I don't think, I mean, we get asked about Taylor Hall every game on the text line, whether we read them or not, because we could go down that road every game. But that's a lot of money to take on. And I don't think the Oilers are going to trade a first-round pick and a bunch of contracts to try to get a rental at this point.
No, I agree. And but the thing is, right now in the North Division, the four top teams, I didn't realize when you started saying how close Montreal is now that they're in second in point percentage, the four teams, they feel this is a year. And whichever team can do the best at the trade deadline might have an advantage going into the playoffs. You got to think the Toronto Maple Leafs, this is the first time that they don't have to go through a Tampa or a Boston. Like this, if they're in Toronto, like this is our year.
Well, Dubas really said it, though.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah,
like Holland hasn't indicated anything like that.
Well, because Holland's seasoned and he's been around. Well, he doesn't need to show his cards. He can just sit back and do what he does, and he's been doing it for years. But in Toronto, they're going to be all in, and rightfully so. This isn't the Tampa Bay Lightning or the Boston Bruins division. Having said, and then you look at Winnipeg. Well, here's our chance. I mean, we do have a really good team this year. Last year, injuries in the playoffs really hurt us, and when a year that we thought we could go somewhere, and we flamed out against the Flames. This, if they need a top four defenseman. I think they're great up front. They got a fantastic goaltender, but I think their weakness is on the back end, so they're going to look for a defenseman. The Montreal Canadiens, they're deep. They got good goaltending. They're strong on the back end. Maybe one more player up front that can put the puck in the net. And then the Edmonton Oilers, they're looking for some depth in different positions. They'd love a top six forward. That's just a little harder to find.
Yeah. And I know that's what they need. I mean, that's one of the big weaknesses on the team. I just don't know how you get that when you're up against the cap like they are.
Well, yeah, you're right. It's because the guy that you want is going to be expensive because
right.
he's making good money
on
an expiring contract usually, but you don't have any money to spend. So.
And I know sometimes Ethan Bear's name pops up. Well, you can look at current Oilers and ex-Oilers, hello, Jeff Petrie, about why you don't give up on younger defensemen.
No, I... See,
Especially a guy who's fighting back from a concussion.
Yep, no, Bear's game is getting better. The play he made tonight on the Cahoon goal, that's what we saw last year with Bear, where he jumps up in the play, he makes aggressive plays, he's got a good head for the game, understand a good hockey IQ. That was a wonderful play right there. That's what the Oilers were missing for a part of the season with Bear. Hopefully he's making strides in the right direction. Dave Tippett talked about the fact that they like where Bear's coming, and that's why they kept playing him, because they knew he could get back to where he needed to be, and he has been.
That's our adjustment of the game for Alberta's chiropractors. If it hurts, see a chiropractor. Visit albertachiro.com/hockey. Ethan Bear tonight did play a ton, plays 13, 14, does get an assist. Thought he had a pretty solid game all around. Tough night in the faceoff circle for the Oilers, except for one guy. Guess who, Rob?
Was his name Leon?
Leon Draisaitl goes 11 out of 17. The rest of the Oilers won 8 faceoffs. Connor McDavid was 2 for 10. Haas was 3 for 9. Jujar was 3 for 7. Cahoon took one
and
lost it.
And that's what we were talking about before the game. And I know that you and Bob were talking about possibly Derek Ryan. The Oilers, when they're shorthanded in important situations, they have to trot Leon Draisaitl out there over and over again, because he's the only one they can trust to win a faceoff. In the course of a playoff series, if your best or your second best offensive player, your second line guy, your power play guy, if he has to continually go out to win faceoffs and then gets hemmed in when they're shorthanded, that's tiring. Shorthanded situations tire the body. They need someone that can win faceoffs.
Yeah. Robin Capilano says he likes Connor Garland. He would fit beneath the cap. The thing is, Arizona will want a first-rounder back.
I like Garland,
too. I don't know if I trade the first-rounder. And sure, it might be a mid-first-rounder. If you have a good playoff run, then maybe it's... I mean, if you win the division, then it's going to be in the final four picks in the first round. But Edmonton, here's another thing. Edmonton has no picks. They don't have a second. They don't have a third. They don't have a fifth. They have a fourth. So right now they have a first, a fourth, two in the sixth, and one in the seventh. Now, let's face it, those final three picks are Hail Marys.
And aren't going to get you anything at a trade deadline.
Oh, no, of course. No, I'm not suggesting you.
No.
So you trade the first rounder and have one pick in the first 120 in a year where, again, you're a good team, but you're not a great team. Like, you're not in the top five of the favorites to win the Stanley Cup.
Nope. No, I've never liked
rentals. Well, you don't
rentals.
Like trading the
I don't
first
like trading
rounders anyway,
I think
yeah.
it's dumb. I mean, how many teams have gone on after trading a rental or trading a first-round pick for a rental and had success?
Garland, hypothetically, is obviously a younger player.
Yeah, what's he on his contract?
I got to double check what he's at. He had 39 points last season.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't consider him a great player. I think he's a good
player. He's about half a point per game.
Yep. Which,
I mean, his stats are almost a little bit like Cahoon's coming.
Okay, never mind. We don't want him anymore. No, just kidding. What I've noticed with him is he's a shoot first mentality. I remember watching him play. He does not look for other players on the ice. He likes to shoot the puck.
He's going
to
be an RFA after this year. So you'd have control over him. So you'd have to give up something significant, because Arizona's saying, well, here's a player we've invested in. And
yeah, well, then, I mean, we're just throwing that name out there. Why is, I don't know if Arizona wants to get rid of him.
Well, yeah, good point. Yeah, of course. Scott says, hi, guys, not sure how it works, but could a team retain salary to make a trade fit better? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
We talked about that. But again, then if they're doing you a favor,
you're gonna
well, not a favor, but that's part of the transaction.
So now you're gonna get more. So if someone says, okay, we're gonna keep, say Taylor Hall, we're gonna keep 70% of his salary to do you a favor so you can have him.
So we want three players instead of one.
Exactly. It's not free. There's no friends in amongst the GMs. They're going to get what they can get from it. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I think it'll be a fun deadline. The one thing that you've seen now, it's almost like in all four divisions, the top three teams are more or less set. And then there's a battle for fourth spot between one or two teams.
Yep.
Other than in the North Division, where I think the four teams are set, and now it's just a matter of positioning for the top four teams, and the other three teams just trying to save face the rest of the season.
Okay, this is the last trade text I'm going to read tonight, because we could do this all night. This person says, "Hey guys, why not trade Nugent Hopkins for goaltender John Gibson? He's a number one goaltender." To that texter, Anaheim would laugh Ken Holland off the phone.
Yes.
And Rob and I like Nugent Hopkins and recognize that if he wasn't an Oiler, you'd lose a very versatile player.
Yes.
But a number one goaltender is still relatively young, is worth a lot more than Ryan Nugent Hopkins.
Oh, without any
doubt. First of all, I don't care how bad Anaheim is or might be in the future. You're not getting better unless you have
great
backbone in net.
Yes.
So that's not someone I would trade unless you got another John Gibson in the pipeline. And I don't know every goaltender the Ducks have in their system.
Wait, but
so that's absolutely not happening.
No, it's not. And going the other side of it, you trade Ryan Nugent Hopkins. This is a team that only has really 4.5 first line players, top six players. You trade him away. Now you're down to Leon and Connor, and now you're really hoping that Yamamoto and Puljujärvi's gone cold. Like he's gone cold over the last 6 to 8 games.
Yeah.
So without Nugent Hopkins, now okay, you would actually have to play Leon and Connor together the rest of the season. You would have no choice, and then you would have second, third, and fourth lines that would struggle to score goals.
All right, we'll go to the CertainTeed hotline. We have Mike standing by, who's also going to finish the play this evening. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Hey, Reed. So it seems like this year when we get up against Calgary Flames, we're the 90s Chicago Bulls. We got the big suits on and go in and take care of business.
I like that reference. Yeah, 5 out of 7 now against Calgary.
Yeah, yeah. Calgary and Ottawa seem to be teams that we're matching up well against, and Toronto's the one that has their number a little bit, and I guess Montreal a little bit too. But Mike Smith is really in a groove right now, and it's good to see him get up after Barry hit him there. Yeah.
Right on. Okay, we're going to finish the play with you. You already have a Hungry Herd premium sampler box. Hungry Herd, top quality meats delivered right to your door at everyday low prices, Alberta owned and operated. Angie, what have you cooked up?
Puck in the right corner. Anderson will get it back to the point. Hanifin across to Bennett. He'll let it go. Saved by Smith. He covered it up. Lucic is parked right in front of him. I don't know how he saw it, but he made the save.
All right. There's a save by Mike Smith, who now has how many wins on the season? 7 or 13?
13.
Absolutely. Your name's going into the grand prize draw for PF Custom Countertops. Support local with a PF renovation. Get started at pfcustomcountertops.com. Grand prize draw for a $1,000 gift certificate to Visions Electronics. The Oilers win it 3-2 over the Calgary Flames. So Edmonton 23-14-1. They are 13-8 at home. Actually, the Oilers have now won 7 straight at home.
That's good, because this was at times a place that the Oilers struggled to put long streaks together. Actually, right now, it doesn't matter where the Oilers play. They're playing well right now. They could have a neutral site game in Siberia, and I think they'd have a good chance of winning right now. The Edmonton Oilers are a good hockey club that is playing good hockey.
All right, before we go back to the phones, let's go to the Zoom room for Mattress Superstore. Here's head coach Dave Tippett.
Hey, Dave, this is a game that, you know, these tight checking games, they didn't seem to be a ton of energy, but are these the type of games you need to win to kind of be a playoff contender and when you get in the playoffs, win some of these playoff games like this?
Well, tight games like this, we're concerned, you know, as a coach, you're concerned about coming home from a long trip and, you know, lots of stuff going on around with the game canceled tomorrow, so you're concerned about how your team's going to compete. And I thought we came out, we played real well early in the first period. had pretty good energy, and then it was just a tight game, a battle. We gave up a few more chances than I'd like in the second, but third period was just it was kind of a game in the trenches. We knew they were going to be a desperate team. They need every point they can get right now. So I would like the way our guys hung in there in the third, and we got a couple on the power play and found a way to win. So it's a good win before we go back on the road again.
And how important was it not to go down two goals? Like, you went down one, you went down 2-1, but you still, Mike Smith made some big saves for you there.
Yeah, he made some big saves. It's you know, we felt like we were playing all right. We gave up the one on a kind of a screenshot but we felt like we were getting some chances. So it's good to see our power play get us back even. And then, you know, once you get it even again, it feels like you're moving the right direction. So it was a tight game, you know. Both teams had some chances. We capitalized on a couple and were able to get the 2 points.
Rob Tchaikovsky, Post Media.
Dave, finding a way to win is a pretty important ingredient in a hockey team as you get down the stretch here and into the playoffs. How do you see that developing on your club? It seems to be getting stronger as the year goes on.
Well, you need to, and you need to be able to win, you know, in different circumstances. There's times when your top players can do it, your power play can do it, your penalty kill can do it, your goaltender can find a way to hang in a game for you. So you just have to recognize certain situations where what gives you the best chance of winning, and sometimes that can switch a little bit in the game even. You know, if you don't feel like you got the energy you need, you got to play a certain way. If you feel like you're good and you're on your toes, you get going and push the issue. So there's different ways that our team is, you know, we talk about it and just recognize in situations where no matter what happens, we got to find a way to win. And that's, we've been able to do that a number of times this year.
So how would you assess the homestand?
short homestand, very short.
I mean, give your guys credit, man. They've gone through a lot of mental stuff, and they responded with a pretty strong game in a game that meant a ton to Calgary.
Yeah, I do. I give them a ton of credit because it's coming off that trip. It was there wasn't a lot of energy in our group. I felt that way. When we won that game in Toronto, we got on the plane and went back to Montreal, it was like everybody's looking at it like, where are we going? You know, because it's a game that was kind of thrown in there. So I'm glad we got back. We got a day's rest and came out and got points. And we'll have a rest day tomorrow and have a little practice before we leave for Montreal on Sunday and go back on the road again.
Jim Matheson, Post Media.
Dave, the goal that Cahoon scored, is that the kind of goal you want him to score? You said he had to get to the net a little bit more. Yeah. Is that the kind of goal you want him
that's
to score?
That's about as close as you can get right there, isn't it? Yeah. That was a good play. Good play all the way around. We moved the puck up the ice. I think all five guys on the ice touched it. Bearsy made a really good play to get it to Yamamoto, and I like the way Cahoon drove to the net. So those are the ones you like to see a line score. Everybody contributes, and they find a way to put it in the back of the net.
And the goal that Connor scored on the power play, it looked like one of those ones where you win a face-off and then there's a bit of a scramble. It looked like two guys kind of went to chase on, and then Connor got the puck. And one of those ones where maybe if you're the opposing team, you think, well, Connor will just skate around with it, get it back to the point. But it was a good play by Connor just to throw it at the net.
Good play by Connor and good play by Chase. He kind of jammed everything up there because it wasn't a clean win. We've got it set up where there's certain things that happen if it's not a clean win. And fortunate the puck bounced straight to Connor, and he shot it quick before anybody could get to him. But Chaser did a good job in clogging that, kind of clogging things up in front of him. So it was, when it's a winning goal, you'll take it any way you can get it. And probably not the prettiest power play goal we've ever scored, but it counted.
Ryan Rashog, TSN.
Dave, you talked about giving the group a break tomorrow. It's not that you've had to play a ton of games recently, but that was a really long road trip, and you say it was, you know, talk about it being mentally taxing. How much are you as a staff right now talking about managing that end of this with your players right now? Energy, yeah. You know, mental energy and that sort of thing. And now you've got another game canceled here, so
it's a big factor. It's a real factor in what we're trying to do. You're trying to get enough practice time, enough, you know, downtime, enough where games are mentally taxing. And if you just think about it, like every day before a game, we start talking about it. It's like a playoff game. It's a 4-point game. So every game is like that. It's not, you're not going through the year and just kind of, you know, you're kind of jumping around from team to team, and the games don't mean, I mean, they all mean something, but it's not, doesn't have the same meaning as they do this year when you're playing every game a division game. So that becomes mentally taxing. So we're trying to monitor our group as best we can, and trying to make sure they get enough, not just physical rest, but mental rest. And that's, I think that's going to be a factor coming down the stretch, because we talked about it after the game tonight. Who knows what's going to happen with our schedule now? You know, you just got to take whatever's in front of you, but you got to be ready to accept that challenge also.
You guys, I'm sure you analyze the group closely, but how much do you converse with the players to, you know, sort of get their take on where they're at? I don't know if that's the leadership group, maybe a little bit, but how much of it is talking with them about where they're at as well?
All the above, you know, like we had a talk after the game tonight. We want to skate once before we go on the road again. And, you know, we had a conversation with the group about, is it better to take tomorrow off and skate early Sunday morning and go? And that's, I think, mentally, that's an advantage for us. Just get the guys away for a day. They get to see their family, because we're gone for another whole week here, you know?
Jason Gregor, TSN 1260.
Dave, more of a tactical question. I've been noticing in your second period, in the long change, a lot of times you'll have the left, when the right defenseman changes, the next left defenseman goes out first. So sometimes you'll have like a Jones with Nurse, and then when Nurse goes off, the right defenseman goes back out. Have you, your second period goals against are down this year a lot from the last few years. Has that been a part of it? Has that changed, do you find, and did you, or and maybe I missed it last year, but has that helped your team?
No, we've done that. We've done that all along. We've done that all along.
That is Oilers head coach Dave Tippett speaking after his team beats the Calgary Flames 3-2. Okay, we'll get to Michael on the phone line in a couple of minutes here. We got to take a quick timeout for the news and weather. You can get us at 780-496-0063. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on Oilers Radio 630 Chet. Rogers Place, Friday night, the one-game homestand for the Edmonton Oilers. That was funny when Titch asked Tippett what he thought of the homestand. Short indeed. So they're going to take tomorrow off, practice, and fly on Sunday, and then they play the Canadiens on Monday. 3-2 win tonight for the Oilers. 780-496-0063 is the Certainty hotline. We have Michael, who's called in. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Good. Yeah, it's a good win tonight. It's too bad Toronto and Winnipeg's went into extra time, because points are valuable, and you know both teams got at least a point there. But anyways, reason why I'm calling, I was listening to an interview from I guess it was on a DFO rundown show by Saravelli and Gregor. They had Hitchcock on, and they were talking about Rob, and I'm just wondering, Rob, if you've ever considered coaching.
No, after the hell I put all my coaches through, I think karma would come back and bite me.
Hitchcock, he had a lot of good things to say about you, and he thought you would have been a great coach. He was giving you a lot of praise for that, too. He thought you were pretty smart with the game, and that you would have been a great coach. One of the questions was asked is, which former player that you coached would have been a good coach, and your name came up like in a heartbeat.
Well, I've always had a good relationship with Hitch. Outside of my father, he was the biggest influence on my career. I coached my son throughout his hockey career. I got a child with special needs, and coaching nowadays, you have to put in a lot of time, and you got to start at the bottom, move up, and I just didn't have the time for that. Not with
oh, for sure. Yeah. Was.
But it's coaching is a stressful lifestyle. I enjoy being up here analyzing. This is way easier than coaching. But I picked up a lot of good things from the coaches I played for, and I also learned things that you don't want to do, because I've had some other coaches that weren't quite as good. But Hitch is a good man, and he's a good storyteller. He's a good guy to sit and listen to, whether on a podcast
it was
or in a
really
bar.
Good interview. So
he's a good man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks,
okay,
Michael.
Well, thanks. Bye.
But we should mention, Rob, you have done skills coaching, and you do instructing.
Yep. No, I'm on the ice nine times a day. I've got a hockey school in St. Albert that's going on right now. I work at three different academies. I do coach mentoring. No, I do lots of coaching.
You're at three academies?
Three different academies.
I didn't even know that.
Yep. I'm at St. Francis Xavier in Edmonton, NAX in Edmonton, Devon, and St. Albert Sports Academy. So I'm busy. I haven't gotten any faster. And it's amazing. It used to dominate. I used to dominate the kids. Now, then it was like the grade 10s were getting better. Then it was the grade 8s. Now some of those grade 5s are really fast. So I have to cheat. I play old rules. I play the clutch and grab. I get the corkscrew in with my stick. I don't believe in these new rules. I'm old school hockey.
Are there any current prospects or junior kids that you worked with?
Well, I work with Gunter. When he was in NAX, yeah. I had Matty Savoy was in St. Albert and at NAX. Benning and Carter Savoy, both in Denver right now. Couple of kids that we had. Ian Mitchell, who's playing for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, was on the World Junior team a couple years ago.
He's a St. Albert Sports Academy kid. Matt Benning, who was with the Oilers. He's a former St. Albert Sports Academy kid. So we've had some really good players go through our program. And it's fun. It's really fun watching a kid that you knew in grade 4, grade 5, grade 6. Now making a living playing hockey. It is really cool to see the experience that they get to have.
Gunther is going to be drafted extremely high.
He's good. And I had him as a bantam at NAX, and I'm like, okay, this kid, he shoots like nobody I'd seen.
Really?
That was as a bantam. And I'm trying to teach him things. I'm like, okay, I'm watching what he's doing. Okay, how's he doing that? No, he was good. He was smart. He worked hard and a fantastic young man. So it's good to see that he's having success. He's going to be a very good NHL hockey player.
Yeah, and Gunther and the Oil Kings winning 9-2 today over the Red Deer Rebels, in case you missed that. And they'll play again tomorrow at the Downtown Community Arena. Oilers win over the Flames 3-2. We have Prish standing by. Hi, Prish. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. First time calling into your show. Love listening to your show. Just a few thoughts on what you thought of Chuchar tonight. And what do you think the Oilers should do just to go into the, you know, when we know that they're going to make the playoffs, to see what they're going to do to go far?
Oh, geez. To go far? Well, Mike Smith, 935 save percentage in the play. No, I mean, that's to go far. I mean, like Rob has been saying all the time, you're going to have to beat
Toronto,
probably
Winnipeg
or Montreal in the first round, and then probably
Toronto
in the second round. So you're going to have outstanding goaltending. You're going to have to be healthy. You're going to probably have to have a couple depth guys get hot at the right time, like, you know, Fernando and
you're going to need good bounce, good breaks. I think that the four teams that are going to be in the playoffs are very close. I think that they're all going to try and get a little bit of advantage at the trade deadline. You're going to need great goaltending. Great goaltending. When teams are as tight as they are, whichever team has the better goaltending, usually going to go far. Right now, Winnipeg's got the best track record in Hellebuck, who was a Vezina Trophy winner. The Oilers have got a goaltender that's as hot as any in the National Hockey League. The Montreal Canadiens have two good goaltenders, so they can rotate if they want, if you're playing back-to-back games. And the Toronto Maple Leafs, they're the one that's a wild card. Campbell's having a great year, and he's wrestled the number one job away from Anderson, but they got injury problems there. Anderson's not back skating yet, and Campbell's coming back from an injury, and they're being very cautious with them. So all the strengths that Toronto has, the one worry for them is are they going to have healthy goaltending going into the playoffs?
Chuchar Kara played 11 and a half minutes. He was credited with 3 shots on goal, 5 hits. We mentioned he went 3 out of 7 in the faceoff circle. I thought Chuchar played fine. He spent a little bit over a minute killing penalties, which was big for the Oilers tonight. I mean, the thing with Kara is you want him to start the season better, because that's been his hang-up pretty much every year we've seen him. And now this isn't unique to him. Is, hey, we wish he scored more.
No.
But, of course, but again, I think you're the players in the bottom six, they sort of are who they are. So I thought he was playing fine.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, when you don't notice him, it's a good thing, because it means he's not hemmed in his own zone. He's not making big gaffes. He's not turning the puck over. He actually created shorthanded. They got two good scoring chances out of a chance that he and Hopkins have. So, yeah, he's become a good, very good penalty killer.
And I wondered on that play, and I know they wound up getting a chance when he went behind the net and centered it, but he was one-on-one against Tkachuk.
Yes.
And forward back, and I thought, I wonder if Jujar, who's not known for his one-on-one moves, I thought, I wonder if he's going to try to take him because he's got a forward back.
Yeah, I mean, most forwards, when you're penalty killing, you know exactly where the forward is playing defense. Most teams have four right. forwards and a defenseman. So you cheat to that side if you're coming offensively. You want to try the forward going backwards. But at that point, it was late in his shift. And the last thing you want to do is try to beat a guy one-on-one, turn the puck over, and now you're too tired to get back in the play.
Right.
So he made a good play and created scoring chances.
Oilers win 3-2. Dominic Cahoon had a goal today. Here he is.
Games where you find a way to win. What did you like most about the way your team handled three periods of almost adversity?
I think it was what we were talking about. So it was like a playoff game, you know, it was very tight. And I think the biggest thing what we were talking about was to outwork them. And I think we did a good job in that. All four lines were going today. All four lines were battling. And that's what brought us the win.
Now you move 12 up on Calgary, which essentially you pretty much wouldn't have to worry about them for the rest of the year. How big a deal is it to just get a team out of your way and only worry about what's ahead of you and much less about what's behind you?
Yeah, exactly. It was one thing we talked about too. It was like we called it a game 7 for Calgary. You know, for them it's every game now game 7 because they still want to come in. So it was huge for us to get the 2 points and that they didn't get one. So yeah, it's a great feeling, but we have to keep going next week.
Ryan Rashog, TSN.
Hey, Dominic, we were talking to Dave Tippett about you, I think maybe yesterday, and he said one of the things that he was wanting to see from you was going to the net kind of hard. And look at the goal you scored tonight. You know, did you receive that message from your coach, and how important is that for you?
I didn't receive it yesterday, but I know that that's one part what I need to do more. And I try to do that more and more, just be net for a little more. And on the goal, I just try to go harder. So it was a great play from the guys.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, I mean, talk about passing it into the net. When you can do it, it's pretty. Just how nice a play was that overall?
Yeah, it started with Berzy. He made a nice play to Dry to the blue line, and obviously we know how good Dry is, and he can make those plays. And he found Berzy back, and he made a nice play to Jamo, and yeah, Jamo made an unbelievable play to me. So at the end, it wasn't too hard for me, and it needed to go in.
Rob Pichkowski, Post Media.
Hi, Dom. Can you maybe just describe the confidence that you guys have in Mike Smith right now?
Oh, he's unbelievable. I think you can see that every time. If you make a mistake or if the opponents get a big chance, we know he's there, and he makes those big stops, especially the one in the second period. I don't know who showed it there, but he made a big glove save there, and he's doing it almost the whole season. So that's unbelievable to have a guy like that in it.
Dominic Cahoon, 6th goal of the season tonight, helping the Oilers beat the Flames 3-2. Caleb Jones back in the lineup tonight, didn't play a ton. Rob, plays 8.5 minutes.
Yeah, he was fine in his minutes. Whenever you're a guy that's coming into the lineup on the third pairing, you don't have as much trust as some of the other defensemen, especially in a game that's tight. I didn't see anything that suggested that he shouldn't play much. But again, it's a coach having trust in the players that he has on the ice, and that's why. And when you saw Bouchard, and when he gets in the lineup, he plays 8 to 10 minutes. Tippett has his 4 that he likes going hard with. He's got Bear, who will get good minutes, but when this was a close game going down the stretch, he just didn't have the trust yet in Jones to be a guy out there in the last 8 to 12 minutes in a one-goal hockey game.
Well, Nurse played 27-23, and Russell and Larson almost identical ice time. Russell 22:58, which is a lot for him, and Larson played 22:52. So they leaned. Barry played 20 minutes, but they leaned pretty heavily on three guys tonight. Oilers over the Flames 3-2 at Rogers Place. Christian is on the line. Christian, thanks a lot for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Robin Reed, how are you today?
Good.
Good, good. Just to kind of play devil's advocate, I know the Oilers beat Ottawa, you know, seven times, you know, 14 points there. But do you think we're strong enough to, if we do make it far, to beat teams like, you know, Vegas and Colorado and Minnesota and those guys?
Well, what do you think? If you're calling in to ask us, you must have an opinion.
I don't think we're big and strong. I know we're blessed with Connor and Leon, but everyone else, like, just looking at those teams, are just, they're big and strong. Like, you look at a Tampa Bay and everything, they're, yeah, you know, they're unbelievable, right?
Just, so let me ask you this. So one Canadian team's going to make the Final Four. Which Canadian team do you think has the best chance to win the Cup?
Honestly, I'm not a Toronto fan, but Toronto just, they have so much balance. I know they have problems in goaltending right now, but, you know, their backups are doing well, like, you know, Hutchinson and Campbell there. So if they get Freddie back, I mean, they're going to be tough if the Oilers make it through. You know, it's just being I'm an Oiler diehard fan, but just, it's tough to think that we can get through Toronto. I hope we do, but, you know, they're looking pretty good.
Yeah. Thanks, Christian. Appreciate it. Okay, we got to take one more timeout. If you want to sneak in a phone call, we'll get you on 780-496-0063. It's Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Yeah, just a reminder about the playoffs. As we had a caller saying, well, what if they got to get this team, get this team? The winner of the North Division, the All-Canadian Division, whoever it is after two rounds, we don't know who they're going to play. There will be four division winners, and then they will be seeded 1 through 4.
Based on their winning
percentage.
Based
on their points or winning percentage from the regular season. So it's not like a normal year where the Pacific plays the Central and the Metro plays the East or Northeast or whatever they call it. It's just going to be 1 through 4, and then that's who you're going to play.
And then I just asked you, and you told me that the North Division right now is fourth place of the four division winners. Now, it could be the fourth place team in the division wins, and their percentage isn't as high. But as of right now,
the Leafs have the lowest points percentage of any division leader. So if right now, if they...
The four division winners played,
the Leafs would be the four seed.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's kind of cool.
But that's, I mean,
there's a few games between now and then.
It's so long between now and then to talk about if the Oilers won the North Division, how would they do in the league semifinal? Well, they'd be doing pretty well, so they'd have a chance. I mean, if you make the Final Four, you have a chance.
You do.
You're obviously playing incredibly well.
That is your goal.
Yes, but I think that probably whoever comes out of the North, and if you have to play Vegas or
Colorado or Carolina or
Tampa
Washington
Bay, it's going to be, well, are they big enough? Are they experienced enough? I mean, no Canadian team has gone on a long playoff run in a while. So if you're playing Tampa Bay, oh, well, they won last year. Or if you're playing Washington, oh, well, they've won it before. If you're playing Boston, oh, well, they've been good for the last 12 years. So, you know, it's... That is interesting, though, that probably whoever wins the North, and this is no knock on Toronto, Winnipeg, or whoever, but whoever wins the North
would be the biggest underdog.
Will probably be an underdog in their semifinal.
Oh, absolutely they will. But that's why we play.
Yeah.
That's why we're excited, because there will be a Canadian team in the Final Four.
And again, just to remind everybody, it's April 2nd. The league semifinal is going to start in the second week of June. Or maybe the third week of June.
The way that the games are being canceled, we might have league games in June.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, they're supposed to play Vancouver tomorrow. That's been postponed. Who are the Canucks players here? Again, on the COVID protocol list.
Is it eight players?
Gaudette, Hamonic, Hughes, Holtby, Edler, McEwen, Roussel, and then a taxi squad player. I don't think they listed the name.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the NHL decides when they can start playing again. Because they're supposed to be next Thursday.
April 8th.
But it won't be that.
And then they're here the 12th and 14th, and both teams have the 15th and 16th off, so they could have stuck tomorrow's game on the 15th. Well, they're not doing that if there aren't games on the 12th and 14th to begin with.
It's a weird time, and you know who the busiest man in the world right now is? The NHL schedule maker.
I mean, the only... somewhat of an advantage is there's nothing else going on in a lot of the buildings.
No, true.
I mean, there are some teams that share with NBA, but here, well, I guess all the Canadian teams, there's no concerts and you're not sharing with a junior team. I mean, if you know, the Oil Kings are playing over there.
The practice rink.
In the downtown community arena. You know, the Hitmen are playing at the Seven Chiefs Arena, I believe it's called. So
it's not location that's the problem. It's time.
It's just finding the days.
Because when one team is off, it's because the other six teams are playing each other. So I tell you that the computer dude that is doing the schedule, he must be just, he's drinking a lot now. Seriously, he's drinking.
Well, don't put that out there, Rob.
Well, there's rumors.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't even know who the guy is.
Somebody wrote about him today. I can't remember. Well, we won't say it. We won't use it.
Well, not after I just threw that out about him. But it's going to be this is what the NHL was fearing, but they also knew that it was a possibility. More so now in Canada, with players down in the States now can get vaccinations in a lot of states. I think in Arizona it's 16 and older, in Georgia it's 16 and older, so players are now getting it legally down in the States. So that should stop, hopefully, the game cancellations in the States, but unfortunately here in Canada, it's not there yet, and we just hope that first Vancouver gets healthy and that we don't have to see a lot of other teams have to deal with this.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough.
It is tough. And then, I mean, this is where you see the human part of hockey. I mean, usually you see them on, they're your heroes or your stars, or you enjoy watching them play, but you forget that they're family people. They've got wives and kids and parents, and they get sick too. And I just hope that all the players in Vancouver, that this is an illness they get through quickly and they get back and healthy, and it doesn't spread throughout their families, and we get to see them back playing hockey sooner rather than later.
Connor McDavid gets the game winner. The Oilers beat the Calgary Flames 3-2. Get more on the game on 630ched.com or globalnews.ca. So our next game broadcast is going to be Monday. They're back in Montreal. The faceoff show is at 3:30. The game will start at 5. And, of course, Bob Stauffer will have Oilers Now from noon to 2. Big thanks to Troy Bowler, our game day engineer here inside Rogers Place. And a big thank you to Angie Quinnell, our studio producer at the 630 Ched Broadcasting Compound. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. You've been listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line from the Friesen Brothers Broadcast Center. The Oilers 5-2 in the Battle of Alberta this year. Happy Easter.
630 Ched Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 Ched.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.